This morning, I'd like to invite you to the New Testament Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 11. John, chapter 2, verse 11. John, chapter 2, verse 11 reads this way: "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne today. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you in your spirit and in truth. Bless, guide our hearts and minds to hear from you. Strengthen the faith that you've given to us, Lord, that we might be the light and a source of refreshment and hope, Lord, to our families, church family, and to the world. Bless, and we'll thank you, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message is simply Inviting God. And we're going to see what happens here when God is invited into our everyday lives. Sometimes people think that, well, the things that we should ask for God are the things that deal with ministry and the things that deal with things that would honor and glorify the Lord. And that's true. But God is also wanting to be involved in the everyday little things of our life, because he wants to shine his light in every area of our life. And he wants the world to see his light in us in every area of our life as well. And so this morning, I would challenge you to consider inviting God, if you haven't already, to hear from him. Lord, I want to hear from you. I don't necessarily want to consider Brother George's speaking abilities, because if they're not poor, if they weren't poor before, they surely are not doing so hot today. Amen. But may I hear from you, Lord. And with that said, just want to look at three thoughts, and that is God invited, an approach of faith, and faith followed. So the first thought, we back up to verse 1 and look at the invitation here. In verse 1, it says, "And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage." Did you see that? They were called to the marriage. That was not a place of worship necessarily, but it is an institution that God ordained. And so it is a part of everyday life. And God wants us to understand the importance of not just calling him to the marriage, but every day after that would be a good idea as well. And so here he is, he's called to the marriage. And so God is on the scene on this day, is he not? And maybe sometimes we feel like God's not on the scene today, but did we invite him? Was he invited into our lives that day? It's important that we invite him. Notice this approach of faith here in verse 3. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine." Sometimes we pass over things too quickly. And the mother knew that. Do you think Jesus also saw that? Sometimes we have problems in our lives. God wants us to tell him about them, because we're inviting God into those problems and to help us with those problems. And I want to remind you, there was a Syrophoenician woman that was not of the people of Israel. And the promise of God was to the Jew first and then to the world. And so she had a daughter that had a problem that she wanted the Lord to fix. And the Lord said, "It's not meet for me to go anywhere but to the children of Israel." It wasn't the plan. And to give bread to dogs is what he said. You remember that? And she could have been offended by that. I would dare say Today, people are easily offended at almost anything, and you can miss the Lord that way. But she said, "Yea, Lord." She agreed with him. "But the dogs will eat off the crumbs that fall from the children's table." And he said, "Great is thy faith. So be it unto you according to your faith." And her daughter was healed at that very moment. How many times do we rush through life so preoccupied, listen to this, on what we have to do? "You don't understand my schedule. You don't understand everything I have to do." Have you ever thought about this? This might be a little disheartening. The world will not skip a beat when we leave. The world will not skip a beat when we leave. But God is also mindful of our parting this world. And he said, above all things that we're to look for in this life is his kingdom. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. If we're not careful, we have allowed the world to guide us on different paths or to create different priorities. But here we find the Lord's mother realizing that there's no wine, and she brings the problem to the Lord and says, "They have no wine." And he says, verse 4, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Now, do you realize that this is the Lord speaking to Mary, his physical mother? At first glance, we could take offense to that, could we not? The world might take offense to that. The Bible says that when we're filled with the Spirit, we are not easily offended. So offense comes by not believing that God is in control. Offense comes by making big of self and making us the master instead of the servant. And so listen to what Mary does here. Well, in fact, look at verse 4. He says, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" And he explains, "Mine hour is not yet come." It's not yet time. Verse 5, "His mother saith unto the servants." So if you can imagine, she's at the place where the serving is taking place. The wine is gone. The Lord's there. And she points out there's no wine. The servants are there, and she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now, this is an approach. Mary, of all people, knew God, did she not? She was approaching God. Did she know who Jesus was? She was approaching him by faith. She had a need. God says, if you have a need, ask. That's the faith part, believing. And so she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." What does that statement reveal? She believed that Jesus was going to say something to those servants. How did she know that? How did she know that Jesus was going to give a command? Because, listen, she was being led by the Lord. God wants to lead our lives so that we can anticipate and know his direction in our lives. He does not want us to be unfamiliar with the way that he works. He wants us to know the way he goes and the way he comes and how he works. If that's not taking place, Is it because there's a problem with God or with me? Where's the problem? Me. We like to point out somebody else's fault. But God wants us to understand it's ours. Now, why? God's not trying to kick us when we're down. But see, we need to walk in humility before the Lord and realize how much we need him. And so, she says, whatever he says to you, do it. Verse 6, and there were set there 6 water pots of stone. And these are earthen vessels, right? After the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And now we find here these directions that are given, right? Jesus saith unto them, isn't that amazing? Ponder that thought just for a moment. Mary says to the servants, whatever he says, do it. To the servants, what are you and I? Are we servants? Are we willing to say, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. By doing that, we place our lives in his hands. Did Jesus say, follow me? Then it would behoove us to follow the Lord. Well, how do we follow the Lord? Does he want us to follow him just on Christmas and Easter only? You know what they are called, right? CEO Christians. That means they come on Christmas and Easter only. Just twice a year. Is that what he wants from us? Does he want us to be bi-weekly believers? Weekly believers? Or daily? Daily. So he says, come and follow me. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If there's a problem with that, where does the problem lie? With ourselves. So God, show me your way. I want to follow you. Jesus says to them in verse 7, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Isn't that good? They didn't fill them halfway up. They filled them all the way. Because what did Jesus say? Fill them. Fill the water pots. He didn't say fill them all the way up to the top. God says we ought to spend time with him in prayer. How often should we do that? How far shall we go? Halfway? Or all the way with God? Do you know that we can talk to the Lord in our cars? In fact, that's a good place to talk to him. You can turn the radio off and talk to the Lord. And you can sense the presence of the Lord. But if we don't believe that, we won't seek that. Now remember who he called out to, the servants, to fill up the water pots. And as we move here, we find this faith followed. Verse 8 says, and he saith unto them, and I need to remind you again, who are the them? Not the guests, the servants. Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. Now that's a step of faith. Because what did they see going into the pot? What should come out of the pot? That's a step of faith. I mean, my goodness. You're going to... The master of the feast, he's the one that approves it. So they bear it. Verse 9 says, and when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. He didn't know where it came from. But the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom. Listen to what he said. And he saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Do they really keep the good wine till now? They put the best out there first, and they ran out. Do you follow the thought? They're being impressed with the work of God. The strength of the flesh had already failed. How about in your life and mine? Are you victorious in the spiritual things? In our own strength, we are not. We fail. So now it's time for the Lord to turn the water into wine in our lives. For Him to make us from failures to successors by His power and His grace. The guest didn't see that. The servants did. The world will never see the work of God in your life and mine. But God wants us to see His work in our lives. And the world might look at us and say, my goodness, what a gentle and kind, what an individual who really portrays a good person, and we'll know it's the work of God. Could the servants have manufactured that wine? Could they have aged it to any degree in that short amount of time? Give them all the time, that water would still be water. Who brought the change? Who will bring the change in your life and mine? Why do we try to manufacture what we can't? Do we not? Here's what we do without thinking. We ask God to make us stronger and to help us. God won't do that. Why? Because then we walk away touting how great we are instead of how great God is. God wants to strengthen us with His power. And the reason why is because when we have the victory, we say, thank you, God. And we praise the Lord as we rightly should do. But it is God that brings us to that place. What is it that grants you access to the throne of God? When the Israelites were freed from Egypt, what did God say He would look to that would cause the death angel to pass by? What was it? The blood. That's the righteousness of God. What was it that granted you and I access to God and brought us into the family of God? The blood. That's the righteousness of God. What is it that grants you today access before the throne of God? The blood. The blood. So access is not based upon, I've been a little bit better today. I read my Bible a little bit more last week, so I have a little bit more of an inroad with God. Don't we think that way sometimes? You better throw that away. The only reason why you and I have any access is what? The blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only access. And in our frailty and in our imperfections, we think it's what we do. That is so ingrained, we don't even see it until God puts His finger on it and points it out. We don't even see that we're completely looking in the wrong direction when God is saying, it is me and my righteousness. And Peter said, though all forsake thee, Lord. He got it wrong, didn't he? What was he looking to? Himself. The same thing we look to if we're not careful. The servants saw it. Who are the servants today? The children of God. Do we see it today? Or are our eyes still blinded? Are you still blind? The scriptures say, and cannot see. So he says unto him in verse 10, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. Do you know what that tells me? We can have it right now. We might look at our lives and we might say, we're getting closer to the end. Wish I could have done it at the beginning. It's all right. Let God do it at the end. Wherever it's at. Let God have his way now. Let us see that he is still... Listen, when he worked in the life of Moses, was it too late? When he worked in the life of Abraham, was it too late? In fact, he waited to make sure that Sarah and Abraham couldn't say, we did it. Think about it. He made sure. You know what we produce? Ishmaels. You know what God produces? Isaacs. That bring forth the power of God beyond our power. And then lastly, I want you to consider this thought. We see what the world sees. You've kept the best till now. That's a testimony unto the Lord. Lastly, watch this, verse 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Remember, only the servants saw it. And his disciples believed on him. What? Wait a minute. Didn't his disciples already believe on him? Yeah. What is that saying? God built their faith. God did a work that drew them deeper into their relationship with the Lord. Do you know that God wants to do things in your life and in my life, in the everyday things that will draw us deeper? Do you know that God wants to show his servants today his grace and his mercy in our lives? There's only one person that will keep us from seeing that. Do you know who that person is? Us. Oh God, that you might put your finger on what blinds me, that I might see you in my life. Would you invite the Lord today? That's God's invitation. Would you invite me to come into your everyday life and stop leaning to your own understanding, but in 25% of your ways? 25% of your ways? 50% of your ways? 75% of your ways? Or in all your ways? Acknowledge who? That's God's invitation. We can come up with all kinds of excuses, but that's all they are as to why we would not follow the Lord. Do you know it's an amazing thing? Science is an amazing thing. The atheist doesn't even understand it. Do you know why there's science and scientific laws? Do you know what science is? Things that are observable and reproducible and factual, because there's order. And why there are laws is because there's a lawgiver. You look at the scientists of the 1500s and 1600s, and you'll find out that they were strict believers in a creator. And Isaac Newton, Galileo, and many others who discovered what was already there by the grace of God. And today we want to say that everything just happens with no order. There's a lot of chaos today. But I want you to know there's a creator. The Bible tells us so. That holds everything in his hands. And that's why there is order. And God says, I want to walk with you today to bring order in your life. But I must be invited. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. The Lord made, they were turning in, the Lord made as he would have gone further. He would have left them. Listen, the Bible says that they compelled him, constrained him to come in and have supper with him, eat with him. So God today invites us to invite him, if we'll have him, to experience great and mighty things. Can you believe God can show us great and mighty things we haven't seen yet? Or do we know it all? Oh, God can't show me. May I remind you, he's infinite. Throughout all eternity, and even on this side, he wants to show us things, if we'll have it. The invitation, again, is the Lord's. The choice is ours. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have to petition you and to invite you, Lord, and ask you to come into our lives, not only for salvation, Lord, but that you might show us the way of life, your life, each and every day. Bless the invitation. Speak to us, Lord, as only you can. And we'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.